Hey, hello. Welcome back to another episode of Anxiously Artistic. In case you missed it, my name is Dr. Alondra Sheely, and I am the host. I own Create by Lani, which is a patch brand. Well, not just a patch brand, but I make patches, totes, art prints, a bunch of other things that I'm dabbling with at the moment. Excuse me, that I am doing. I was once told in design school not to say that I dabble, but they are things that I make exclusively for women, and mostly Black women, but there are things of variation that are available, and also probably for feminists, actually pretty exclusively for feminists as well. And I started the brand several years ago, but today I want to be a little vulnerable about my journey, I suppose. But that's what I'm here for, right? Is to be vulnerable. To be vulnerable and to talk through things that I've experienced or I've come to learn in this thing called life. So I like to think that I'm pretty consistent. But again, I'm being vulnerable, so I have to tell the truth. There are times of consistency and there are times of inconsistency. I've oftentimes said that I'm a procrastinator, but not in the traditional sense, I suppose. I imagine there are multiple different types of procrastinators. I am the kind that will do 90% of my work ahead of time, full on ahead of time, and then be lackadaisical about the 10% right around the deadline for things. And that ebbs and flows, I suppose, if I explain it that way. I sound a bit like the hare and the tortoise and the hare. Oh gosh. Oh boy. Oh my. But still, I do like to get my work done and ahead of time because I have other things that I have to do usually. And this is how I've approached a lot of work, schoolwork, other types of work, personal projects. I'll do the bulk of it and get it out of the way and kind of put it on the back burner. And I'll forget about it. So a bit of an aside, and I'm going to bring it full circle as I always try to do. Lately, I've been reading the Old Testament, and I've been reading about Moses and Joshua, and I've come to the end of both Moses's and Joshua's life here pretty recently. And one of the things that called out to me as I was writing notes was seeing how God required them to do things repeatedly, how God required Moses to talk to Pharaoh on a fairly consistent basis, to repeatedly go and talk to him, even though Moses said that he was scared or that he had a speech impediment and he couldn't talk right, as he exclaimed. But to overcome that fear, God had Moses repeat some of the same things and go to him repeatedly. And same thing with Joshua. Joshua had his moments where he had to do things on a repetitive basis. And so in talking about that with my fiance the other day, he mentioned something that stuck out like a sore thumb. And I was not even thinking about it. He said, yeah, practice makes perfect. And my thing was, what I gleaned from that was, like, repetition builds confidence. But I suppose that's the same thing, if I think about it. But seeing how God allowed them to repeat actions so that it was to build their confidence in doing this thing. And then my fiance speaking up and saying, practice makes perfect. And then as I was editing the podcast, because I've edited some of the episodes, but I edit on two different softwares and I think they sound differently across the two. But I was recording the intro and then I was editing the very first episode that I made back in, oh gosh, November maybe? November or December? And contrasting the two, my voice sounded so differently. So differently. And I remember listening to the almost defeat in my voice in the very first episode that I actually just scheduled to release. So I've been recording a bunch of these episodes, and I wasn't sure if I was going to release it, but then I thought it would do my heart some good to do so. But listening how I've been playing out these episodes, and I've probably been recording about every week or so, barring major holidays, and I sound so much more sure of myself in how I record these. At first, I was absolutely horrified to hear my voice on the recording device, and I still have moments where I'm listening back and I'm just like, ugh. But that's not the point. The point is that I keep showing up. I keep showing up, and that is a very big point to me because I am a runner, and I don't mean physically. I have not ran in many a year. But what I do mean is when things are tough for me, or if I don't start to see things come to fruition, I will turn on my heels and go in a different direction because I'm frustrated, because I'm scared, because I feel like I've bared my soul to something that doesn't seem like it's loving me back, which is not the me who I thought I was. And it's been a lot of sitting down and being honest with myself and being vulnerable that I have seen that I will run in very uncomfortable situations. Moving to a new state taught me that on a grander scale even. But it's absolutely crazy to me because there are times when I am loyal to the wrong thing. I am loyal to things that do bring me fear. I am loyal to things that bear no fruit and never will bear fruit. But my art, I've noticed that I've been very disloyal to. My craft, I've been very disloyal to. And so reading about Moses and reading about Joshua were two beings that I needed to see their process and implement that into my work. So I love, again, that I love that my partners say practice makes perfect, because that just rings so loudly to me, and it calls out to the work that I've been putting into academics, into art, into mentoring, into myself even. Practicing this podcast has perfected my confidence even. And it's a beautiful thing, and I'm so proud of it. So one of the other things that I've been practicing, I suppose, is going back and revisiting ideas that either didn't work out the first time or I didn't like the end result. And there are a lot of patches that I have unreleased just because I've been timid about it, or there's just some logistical things that I haven't worked out. But that's given me the confidence, like hearing myself how I sounded when I first started recording to this day, has given me the confidence to actually go back, sit down on my computer and in my sketchbook and go back through, practice it, practice getting better at your craft. I think I started embroidery back in, 2009, 2010, somewhere around there. And I will never consider myself like the expert of the experts, but I do have an expertise in the things that I do. That's all I can say. I do have the knowledge and the experience with making things the way that I make them, and it gets better. So there are some things that I don't necessarily like about my process, and that doesn't mean that I have to be satisfied with what I've done initially. I'm allowed to grow and to keep working at the thing that I enjoy doing. Same thing with all the other work. Excuse me. I've been attending virtual art spaces, and I was told not to call the things that I do my work. I was told to call them my art. So the things that I do with my art, the work that I put into them, I should be able to grow on the things that worked and work through the things that didn't. So that is what I'm applying to crocheting. Right now I'm crocheting a piece that is an extension of a garment that I designed. I'm pretty sure I've talked about this before. And there are things that I didn't know at all in crochet, and I'm working it out on this piece, and I absolutely love it. So hopefully I'll have it done pretty soon. It's on my to-do list, or my goals list, to complete. But I just wanted to say that repetition not only creates perfection, or close to it, but it also builds confidence. And I think that is what I've been lacking in posting online, because I'm not posting every day. I don't have to, if that makes sense. Not in a cocky sense, but I need space to create. I need space to do things. I have to funnel through my thoughts and work through those, and of course work through my apprehensions and as well as my esteem on posting. And sometimes I just want to share the work, the art, the time that I spend with what I do and revel in that before I submit it to the world and get something back that I was not expecting, or don't get anything at all. And so such a revelation is just awe-inspiring. And I'm telling you, if you can't tell by now, I'm absolutely floored by the fact that I was going through and I was editing this, and I was just like, man, I sound completely different in how I initially started, where I sounded so bore down almost. And I think I mentioned almost just as much in the initial episode, where I said that I was tired of playing small, and it shows up that way. It shows up as if I'm not stepping up for myself, showing up for myself, and I'm moving more away from that the more that I essentially talk to myself in this microphone. But it's so beautiful. There are also a couple of things that I am doing to come out of my shell, so to speak. And I'll mention more on this later, but there are things that I'm planning and forcing myself to do that I ordinarily would not consider, or I won't say ordinarily would not consider, but things that I have not done in probably over a decade of worth of time. And it makes me nervous. It makes me absolutely nervous to have to, or not even to have to, but to bring myself out of my like introverted shell. But in the sake of community, for the sake of community, this is what I want to do. And I'm pretty sure I mentioned it, but a couple of weeks ago, I attended an art show and an art talk. I was invited by a friend, and that gave me also another boost of confidence that I needed. And it also championed something that I had been mentioning in some prior episodes, where I was saying that I needed to name myself. I needed to name the self. And my friend was introducing me. This is Dr. Sheely. This is Dr. Sheely. And of course I shied away from that, but how do I expect to be confident in that if I don't use my title, or if I don't step up to what I am? I mean, I am a doctor, and I have the pictures to prove it. I also have the hood and the tam, but I still felt very proud. And I also got a bit of a confidence boost in that to continue the work that I do, to step up in the sake of community building for marginalized people, for Black women, for fat women, for fat Black women, in the sake of loving ourselves when we don't feel like the world does. And so practicing patches begets more patch ideas. It creates more opportunities for me to make other accessories. It helps me step out of my comfort zone and seek out communities to be a part of and know that I don't have to go it alone. Seeing that I am branching out into community building, it makes me want to do more. And right now I'm having my website reworked, and I'm hoping to have it up pretty soon. but it also drives me to want to create that safe space somewhere. And I know that a lot of us lack third spaces, or we even lack physical community, but I would love to be able to have a virtual safe space, a virtual third safe space even, that we can congregate and foster the community that we so desperately want and crave. And so I wanted to share that with you all. I also, in talking about practicing and making perfect the things that we do, I'm reading a book by, and it's a very old one, and I mean from like the 1800s. I was suggested it by Andrew Murray, called Abide in Christ. And one of the things that he wrote stuck out to me, and it felt like it had a bit of a home for what I was planning for this podcast today, this episode today. And he wrote, "The believer can each day be pleasing to God only in that which he or she does through the power of Christ dwelling in him." And that just reminded me of, and I had to catch it several times. I was listening to it, but I also have an ebook. So when he said it, I had to play it back and play it back, because it stuck out, as many things I've been doing lately. And him saying that each day can be pleasing to God only to what which we do through the power, reminded me of a TikTok that I recorded some time back when I said that, what am I doing with the time and the talent that I've been given? How am I choosing to display that? That in and of itself, if I display it, is me holding reverence for God with that which he has given to me. And if I'm not working on it or practicing it or trying to perfect it, then I'm not doing what I think is a job of revering. Now, people don't have to agree with how I feel about that. And everyone has a walk of their own, whatever that walk may be and in what. But to me, this was how I chose to show up, not only for the Lord, but also for myself. If I am just sitting on talent and not displaying it, then what good am I offering to society? Some people, I need people's art. Therefore, you know, I think we all are in need of art by someone else, however that shows up for you or them or whomever. It just kind of reminds me, I have some uncles that in the 70s, 80s, and maybe the 90s, they used to be sign painters. They used to create hand lettered signage and art for businesses. One of my uncles, and they are older in age now, but one of my uncles actually has an album of the work that he does. So one of the last times that I visited him down in Orlando, he pulled out this album and he was walking and talking through the pictures, and he had several examples of his work, and these were gorgeous. I mean, like, they were for salons and I believe florist shops and stuff like that. And we don't so much see people doing that nowadays, but it just kind of reminds me, him showing me that, like, he just eventually got out of the practice. I don't know how he stopped. I never thought to ask, actually. But I remember when I was a kid, he would come up from Florida and he would look at my artwork that I would have on art shows, you know, stuff that you have when you're young, and he would like grade my work, so to speak. But he was such a wonderful artist and a great critic. And then it's like he just stopped caring. And I don't want that to be me. I don't want that to be anyone, really. And it makes me sad that, and I don't think he was the only one. I think I've had multiple uncles that were in the business. But it just makes me sad that that is how he just gave it away. He just gave away his talent. And I don't want to start practicing what I'm doing. Even though there are times that I am exhausted, there are times that I am burnt out, and I know that I need to take a pause and step away. But other than that, this is something that I absolutely cherish, that I've been able to have this business. I've had my business since like 2011, but I didn't start in this particular modality until 20, 17, I think. I'm pretty sure I've talked about this before. But yeah, I needed money from coming home from my internship. And so I was already playing around with embroidery anyway, because in about 2010, I was working at a craft store, and a coworker of mine, a good friend of mine, she was constantly coming to me because she had a gift basket and wreath business that she owned. And so she would actually hire me out to do a lot of her work and build things from scratch, or to make totes. And I was making totes from what I sew. So I was making like custom totes that she would use as the baskets, and then I would embroider different things and whatnot. So I started in the patch making business in 2016, 2017. I think I officially rebranded my shop in 2017, and I've just been working at it since. And I've added a few things here and there, but seeing the progress that I've had has just made me want to branch out and do more things, so that I don't get burnt out, so that I don't stop, so that I don't quit, so I don't give away my talent to nothing. But that is all I have today. And I thank you so much for listening. And as always, I hope you have a wonderful day. Until next time, bye.